Okay. I'm not going to do Dragonborns. Okay. I think they're dumb.
Oh, recording.
We're recording. Yeah.
So you got my Dragonborn is dumb comment?
I didn't. Well, I did now. Fuck Dragonborn.
Yeah, fuck them right in their cloaca.
They're fine in a couple settings. I don't know that they need to be a base race.
It's right under their tail. They shit and piss and fuck from it.
Welcome.
Well,
to...
don't dragons not really fuck? They lay eggs.
Cloaca! I'm sorry, what were we talking about? And with that introduction, we're going to be playing a real serious, stay-in-character Ravenloft Curse of Strahd game with no fucking around.
Evanloft.
No, we're not calling it the Evanloft.
Too late.
What's going to go on in this game is not what happens in the Evanloft. It is not represented the Evanloft.
Shitting in the back seat.
Cloaca.
Ah! Okay.
I've changed my mind. Everybody get out of my mind.
Yeah, you're done. Get out.
Does it need to be everybody? I feel like it could be very targeted.
Let's roll a D8 and find out who it is.
AOE the shit.
Roll a D8. Choose your target.
I should look at my feet, sorry, to see if I do want to be human.
Yeah, they are though hard to pass up.
Half elf also looks pretty nice too.
They got some tasty stuff.
Here, I'll have the regular.
Yeah, half elf of 2 to charisma and trust then 1 to 2 others.
Where are you doing?
Feet 165 is where I will find feet.
Bill is going to be playing a clerk.
A clerk.
Hmm?
Oh, so he's like the, what's his name? The guy that goes to Dracula to try to sell him something. He's
there is a feat that gives you an addition to your initiative. It's alert.
Cool. Yeah. You said, Bill, that you were also going to be taking the Monster Hunter? The Haunted One?
I don't know if I'm actually going to take that background, but I'm going to, like, effectively be a Vampire Hunter kind of character.
Okay.
Like, probably like a War Domain Cleric. I'm here to chew bubblegum and fuck vampires.
Haunted One doesn't really give any bonuses to it. It does have with it the like the Monster Hunter pack, but you can buy that for like 40 gold.
Sure.
And I recommend it because it comes with wooden stakes and
just
holy water.
Stakes, yeah. Stakes and holy water. Holy water more important if you're not already a cleric and can't just make that shit. Actually, can you just make holy water in 5th?
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'll have to double check that.
Check out the bless spell.
Georgia, you are definitely playing a bard.
Mm-hmm.
Yard. Ross is a ranger. Nick is a warlock. Brandon, you are going to be playing a bar fucking barbarian.
Barbarian.
Oh, you just stole my pencil. Yeah. That's where my pencil went.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I asked you.
And you are also going to be a human.
Human. Oh, are you going to make some red pencil corrections?
Sure. Georgie does not know her race yet. Bill is going to be playing.
I'm undecided.
What's that?
I identify as a tree.
You get to add your dexterity and damage.
Oh.
Okay. So for these swords, it's your strength and F plus 0, but you're going to want that plus 3 damage. So
gotcha. Because we're all human?
I'd also advise you pick up a dagger or some other finesse weapon.
Which would be cool.
Actually, let me check your...
It tells me I can start with 2 short swords and a bow. Unless Evan's allowing other things, I guess. But I just want to ask what the books are.
So, 5th edition, you don't need magic weapons or anything like that. So it's not like you're starting with any magic gear. But, like, you guys are starting with...
No, I mean, so the book says I start out, my weapons are 2 short swords and a long bow is like my options.
Sure.
So unless you're allowing other things to be let in, that's my starting weapon.
Right. So, in fact, instead of that starting gear stuff, I'm going to give you guys a budget that you can spend. That starting gear stuff is going to be well within your budget. Because I'm giving you the budget, to make your characters that a 3rd level character would have. So you're going to have a whole bunch of money. So
then I won't worry
about it. Means that you can buy shit like plate mail if you're a class that needs heavy armor.
No.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna be a half elf.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, I'll worry about weapons later then.
I'll just be a filthy half-breed.
Wow. So I tried to write down that you are a bard, but Apple auto-corrected, and Georgie, good news. You
am
hard, motherfucker. You hard.
Half-elf hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get hard, elf.
Look how hard I am.
I went to the gym and got swole.
You got 8-pack, yo.
ears.
Ew, 8-pack ears.
Okay, and you said you were doing the 27-point buy first?
Correct. If you really want to roll, you are welcome to.
Oh. I'll do the buy.
But, yeah. No, let's do point buy. Let's just do point buy.
So aside from not adding my bonuses or anything?
Yeah, let's just do point buy.
Off-kilter.
Where's the chart for point buy?
Is right near the very beginning of the book. God, people love listening to these sessions. Just flipping through the pages and shit.
No, everything else is right, but you do have some choices to make.
Such as?
You have an extra language.
It's true. Yeah, well, that's why I want to talk to Evan, because I don't know about the settings.
And your favorite terrain stuff.
Yes,
I found it.
Okay, I left those out because I wasn't sure. There's some background stuff I need to talk to Evan about. I wasn't sure, because I don't know the nature of the land in which I live, or what I've done in the past, or what the language I learned.
So from my end, the first piece of information I'm going to need, other than the stuff I emailed you guys about, is what, which of you would like to have shared backgrounds to be coming from a similar place.
So, sounds like Bill and I are on the same page.
Which page are you on?
The murdering monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck everything that goes bump in the night.
Yeah. You know, it would be Ghostbusters?
Absolutely.
All right.
You're the wandering ghost hunters?
Yeah. All right.
I'm perfectly fine with all of you being from the same place and having known each other ahead of time. That's fine. If you guys do not want to do that, you can have separate character.
I imagine I'm going to be too cheerful for those two.
Sure.
I have this image like I'm in my village or whatever, and these guys come wandering in because they're going after on something that threatens my village, and so I decide to go with them.
If you the idea is that you are not interacting with them until the start of the adventure, then don't worry about it. I will have that generated.
Or on their way there or something.
Sure. Like I said, I will have that generated. Okay. So you don't have to come up with something convenient. I got that.
Okay. All right. Because this guy's like, he wouldn't leave his home unless there was a reason, like a threat against him or something else going on.
So you are, from the background that you sent in, you are an ex-soldier. Like, you were literally a scout for the military. That's where you learned your shit. And then after the war, you were like, I did some heinous shit. I just want to settle down and have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep pulling me back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about anything about the setting. So what terrain would this place be in? Because I get a bonus for this stuff.
From the description that you gave of where you came from, like, forest is a just fine favorite terrain.
Oh, I thought I was in some place that was dealing with the Strahd campaign or something. I didn't know. You talked about, like, some Borovia or whatever.
Your characters do not know yet. Essentially, the main conceit of this game, of Ravenloft, is that wherever you came from, you have been drawn into this mountainous valley called Borovia.
Okay.
And unbeknownst to your characters, it is a whole separate dimension. It's a demiplane unto itself.
All right.
So, Borovia is the land, and like I said in the email to you about the character that you're playing, the land itself is almost a character in the campaign because of all the weird shit going on there.
Okay.
So the fact that you're a ranger is going to be really cool, and you're going to be able to tap into some of that stuff.
Okay.
But, I mean, Borovia's got forests and plains and, like,
mountains. And mountains. Any sort of normal temperate environment, you are welcome to select any of those. From an out-of-character best-benefit perspective, go ahead and take forest. It's going to be when the shit... It's going to be the most useful, because you can't take castle. Castle would definitely be the most useful terrain.
Right.
If that was an option.
Oh, wait.
Like, you're playing Castlevania. Pick castle.
Oh, wait, that's not what... That's not what
true story. A full half of this adventure book is dedicated to Castle Ravenloft. The castle itself.
And what...
So I was lazy and just took the standard array.
Standard array is a fine choice.
It is a good choice. It's also the 27-point box.
Yep. I just double-checked that, and I'm like, okay, it is.
I also double-checked.
Which standard array did you take? 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 8?
Yeah.
Okay. Not 15, 15, 15, 8, 8, 8, like our barbarian.
That's not standard.
Yes.
Well, you'd be surprised how standard it's becoming. It's the new standard array.
Yeah, for assholes.
What favorite enemies
are you trying to say?
Like, I don't want
to
pick something that's going to be completely...
What are your options?
So it says I can either pick...
Don't need intelligence.
Let me just read it.
As a barbarian.
You know what I need?
Don't really need wisdom.
From what you have described, beasts are probably a very good favored enemy for you. It is relevant to this game, so it won't be fucking you too much.
Choose a type. Just beasts. Or I can take two humanoid races.
Yeah. So.
Humans and orcs? Humans and elves or something?
Man, that's dark. I'm perfectly fine with you taking humans as a favorite enemy. It means that, like, it's a slight change to your background. That just so you know, instead of being like, oh yeah, I was a ranger in the army for a while, I was a scout in the army for a while. Well, what did you do in your time in the army? I can't fucking talk about it because they black ops your ass and you know how to hunt. Man.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Aside from the thing he did that where he killed an innocent guy, there's all the stuff that he did as a part of the army.
Sure.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, the D&D definition of ranger, if you take man as one of your favorite enemies, you are, like, an actual army ranger. Like, airborne deployment and, like, fucking killing people with close quarters combat.
So you know where the inspiration for this to be a ranger was? At Con Air.
You're Nick Cage?
Well, that was sort of my first list. Like, the guy who's, like, the completely honest ranger guy, but then he kills a guy sort of in self-defense kind of thing.
Sure.
Accidentally, but it's a bad thing. And then... You know, but not Nick Cage.
Accidentally curb stomps a man.
Yeah, he's not Nick Cage. So humans and elves, or humans and humanoid characters? I don't know.
I have one very serious problem with Con Air.
Only one?
Yes. Okay. Everything else about the movie is perfect.
Okay, tell me the serious problem. Aside from the fact it was Nick Cage's follow-up to Leaving Las Vegas, which makes absolutely no sense. And he goes back to Las Vegas.
Hold on. I need to hear this.
Yes.
Nick Cage hires the worst fucking lawyer in the world. The guy's an Army Ranger war hero who accidentally kills someone who's trying to rape his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Right.
And his defense attorney is like, I can't fucking do anything about it.
Yeah, this guy's guilty as fuck.
Doesn't even get him a plea bargain.
Yeah.
Says, just plead guilty.
Right. Whereas I could walk into that courtroom with no legal experience and tell the judge, do you want to be the hero on the 9 o'clock news or do you want to be the villain on the 9 o'clock news?
Like, and if you're gonna plead guilty, get a plea
bargain down. Yeah.
So if I take humans and elves, not only do I get
she's like, nope.
I also get elvish language as a free because
you do get elvish for free, though you are a human, which means you get a free language, so you can pick something else.
I know, so I get common and something else and something else. I get three languages total. Any languages that would be useful aside from common or elvish?
So one of the common themes in all of your background is that the villages and towns and areas that you are from are frequented by a group, a nomadic group of humans called the Vistani, which are essentially lifted directly off of, like, old medieval perceptions of gypsies.
Cool.
Like, and I'm using the term gypsy and not Romani on purpose, because
you're racist.
What's that? All of the shitty stereotypes that people used around the term gypsy are there. Like, these people roll up in brightly colored wagons, they play gambling games, they sucker the locals, they maybe steal some shit, and then they leave and people are patting their pockets down the entire time. So, they do have their own language, so you could know Vistani.
Okay.
There are a number of other languages you could pick up as well.
All right. So. And since we're going, and here's the other one last question about my features here. So there is a, you know what Wanderer is on Outlander Vaccine? Let me read it to you because I don't know if it'll be actually good.
Let's provide for food.
Any use here. So Wanderer, you have an excellent memory for maps and geography, and you can always recall the general layout of terrain, settlements, and other features around you.
Sure.
In addition, you can find food and water, fresh water for yourself and up to five other people each day, provided that the land offers berries, small game, water, and so forth.
Okay.
So that would still apply in this alternate dimension if you spend some time there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Your Wanderer feat does not keep you from getting lost. Like, you still have to make survival checks in the woods and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. For clarification, as you are making your character, as you're picking your skills, survival is going to be your in-the-moment, like, tracking. I understand that you have it.
We
understand.
Oh, sure.
Survival is what you're going to use to track shit.
Okay.
Survival is what you're going to use to, like, go scrounging for food and berries and things like that and get the lay of the land. Knowledge nature is what you are going to use for things like what kind of environment are we in? What kind of trees are those? And all of that semi-mystical stuff that you get as a ranger that we were talking about before,
good.
That's all going to be based on your knowledge nature. Okay. So it is mundane, and because of your class, it kind of edges onto the mystical.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to like think about Arcana or Nature for that stuff, but I get what you're talking about.
I will give it to you with Nature. Arcana is definitely like, oh yeah, I memorized that theorem back in Magic College.
Right, that doesn't sound like something that...
Yeah.
Okay. I think that I'm ready to start when the time comes.
I'm really going to want you to have a real character sheet. I know that you've got it written on there, but like it's going to be much easier when you guys have real character sheets for me to just make a copy of those to scribble notes down and shit like that.
I can send you a copy when I'm up to it.
Sure. Do you want to see what I have so far?
Sure, yeah, I'll take a look. Is Outlander different than Wanderer?
Wanderer is a feature. Outlander is a background.
Outlander is a background that gives you
Wanderer. That gives you Wanderer. Yes. Got it.
Uh-huh. So they've doubled out.
Unknowingly.
Yeah.
I was debating between Soldier and maybe Outlander, but Outlander ended up making more sense overall for what my guy's background is.
Oh, I should probably choose a background before I choose skills.
You got such shitty stats.
Yeah, a bunch of eights. Crazy eights.
Whose water is that?
That's mine.
Maybe. Okay. Where does the beard?
Basically, every spell has a somatic component.
Yeah.
Okay, we're casting this.
Mm-hmm. I took Warcasting for different reasons.
Yeah.
I was going to take Scale Mail, but...
I don't know that much of the cleric stuff is concentration. Most cleric stuff is just fire for me, right?
Yeah, unless you're doing like a blast or a magic weapon, those might be concentration.
Yeah.
You are loaded with gear, Mind Frond. A great axe, a hand axe, a spear, and a quarterstaff? Like...
Is that the basic gear for a barbarian?
Well, no, he wanted to hit all of the damage types. He's got slashing, piercing, and bludgeon.
So you just, like, lashed them all together into one big giant weapon?
Skeleton Joe.
Jesus Christ. Your character sheet is so transparent.
I believe a great axe is a two-handed weapon, dude.
Yeah?
It doesn't say that on here.
Sure.
Okay.
He has three arms.
Well, no, I just... For a second, I was like, oh, and I was trying to figure out why you have the great axe and the hand axe. And I was like, oh, because you want a two-handed attack, which, by the way, I don't think you want a two-handed attack.
No, a great axe. The hand axe is just for chopping kindling.
Sure.
Or in case I break it or something.
Okay.
You can also throw them in case you need some ranged slashing damage.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can throw that spear, too.
but that's four piercing.
That's, you make a strong point.
You gotta hit all your damage types and all your ranges.
I do have four spears. But...
You have four spears?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name? No, your name needs to be four spears.
Yeah.
What's his name currently?
Jean Skarn. He's got a Viking
AKA name. Four spears.
Are you a motherfucking Viking?
Yeah, I'll be a Viking.
All right.
Are you gonna talk with your Minnesotan accent? Well, you know.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's a Viking.
You can talk in that accent, but you have to do it, like, two octaves lower. You have to sound like Bulvi from 13th Warrior.
Jesus Christ.
13th Warrior. The best Antonio Banderas movie ever.
I really like that movie.
Okay. Bonus action. Actually, the best Antonio Banderas movie ever was probably...
A bonus action after attacking... Attacking after critting or killing a creature. So if you roll real well, you can get a -5 attack.
I'm thinking later on, because later on I get reckless attack where I get advantage. I'll just take the -5 just so I can do more damage. Because I'll get advantage.
Oh, does reckless attack not give advantage anymore?
It does. But I don't get it till later on.
Yeah, he doesn't get it at first level. You guys aren't going to be first level when you start, but... did you write these by hand, or did the system import them this way?
No, they imported them ahead.
Jesus Christ, I can't...
It's shorthand, yeah.
I know. It's written real, real bad.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand how one of these things works.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Great Weapon Master? Is that a feat?
It is.
you passed it.
No, we didn't. Feats no,
are feats are after classes.
Just before.
So I'm on page 81. I definitely didn't pass it. Thank you for memorizing where the feat is. Oh, you are freakish. 165.
It was almost a compliment.
Almost.
Ooh.
Right there. This just makes me happy because we haven't seen this side of Brandon in a long time.
Okay, so
Great
Weapon Master, exactly. When you kill a guy or after you crit, you can make a bonus action melee attack.
To attack again, yes.
Okay, so situationally you get an extra attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can choose to take a minus 5 penalty on the attack roll to get plus 10 on the damage.
Correct.
Always.
Always.
Okay. When attacking with a heavy weapon that you're proficient with.
Sure.
Which, let's check, would be a great axe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. For all the weapons that you have, it would just be the great axe. Because the hand axe, the spear, and the quarterstaff are not heavy weapons. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's pretty fucking insane.
No, that's baller. And he's going to get that reckless attack thing. So minus 5, but I'll take it with advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
It just means I kill that fucker first.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So I decided to take the charlatan background.
Okay.
Because I'm going kind of like a TV evangelist kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I'm trying to think of what a tool for my con of choice would be for that.
A pulpit.
Probably like a holy book.
Holy book?
Yeah.
Or symbol?
Like a fucking bedazzled holy symbol?
It's got a star on it.
How difficult do you want game to be for your character socially? Are you looking for a challenge?
Probably not too challenging. Why?
Well, again, because of setting, you could go ahead and dress in bright, colorful clothing and pretend to be a Vistani and go around with a Taroka deck and do card readings for people, which is going to be fine until you run into actual Vistani who are like, are you wearing blackface? Motherfucker. And then they're going to kill you. Not that all Vistani are black, but you get the point. You are culturally appropriating a thing that is theirs. So if you would like, you can sure as shit do that. And I will give you your, what is it, your,
charlatan?
No, the bonus that you get. You get proficiency, the tool of your choice. So you'd basically get proficiency, right.
Deception?
It's a tool, it's a tool check, which is the
I know I have
a
disguise
thing.
Kit and forgery kit that I have proficiency with the charlatan.
That you have them already?
I'm kind of in love with the televangelist thing, though, because it's such a bleak, hopeless world.
Sure.
And it's like, give me money and, you know, you can go to heaven.
Yeah. That's basically more what I'm going for.
I don't know what tool you would get proficiency in with that, because, like, a preacher, you absolutely are going to be making deception
checks.
This
is more of just a tool for the sake of, it is a, you know, just visual thing, not like a, I can make maps.
A book of pre-written hymns.
Well, no, she would still be making a deception check. She gets a proficiency bonus to the use of a tool.
I think this tool is not like a pen and paper makes a difference thing.
It is.
I think it's a flavor thing.
I mean, if you want to use it as a flavor thing, that's fine. You are leaving a bonus on the ground that you could use.
Well, I already got bonuses in a disguise kit and forgery kit.
So
this is just gear.
Sure. I understand.
Like,
but that piece of gear is also a tool to use. Like with the rogue that I was just playing, the thieves' tools, I was making a thieves' tools check.
It already gives me a disguise kit, though.
Sure.
She is satisfied not getting the bonus.
Sure.
I've had these conversations. This could go on for 20 more hours.
Like, I guess I don't understand, like, because,
so,
like,
for example, if
like,
you,
the thing that sure. is, it's like, I get a weighted dice or a deck of marked cards or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to gamble with people using your cheating cards, you would make, I'd probably call it for that, it would be a dexterity check with your proficiency bonus, because that's the tool that you're using.
But I would already have that with sleight of hand.
Yeah. I think the tool proficiencies are dumb to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. let me take
unless,
a look at the
unless
tools
I can stack proficiency bonus.
You cannot.
Then
let's
what's
get that
the
out
point?
Of the way now.
Yeah.
Like, then there's really no point to add for gambling when I already have sleight of hand. That's my opinion.
Why don't you get like a bonus when doing like social religious checks or something?
To give me money.
Because it's not how system is built, yeah, and like right. I'm not necessarily against talking around that.
Yeah.
But.
Or when she has the book at her hands or something, it somehow gives her a extra oomph. I don't know. I mean, if it's not like suddenly I can do 20 extra points of damage.
Well, and I mean, the problem is like all the tools available that she gets. Like some of this is some weird ass shit. Like if you're pretending to be a map maker and you get your proficiency bonus when using navigator's tools, are you just a map maker at that point? Like you're not a charlatan. You can actually do
make
that
maps,
thing,
yeah.
Right? If it was like
you've got the dice proficiency to back that.
If it was something like half proficiency bonus to any tool. Something like that. Like
I
kind of
get
it.
That with Bard at second level.
You do.
Yeah. Where I get just half proficiency bonus on like everything.
It seems more like you get a bonus to deception or religious checks or something if you're in that context or trying.
But
to
I already get
thing.
That from Charlatan. I already get the deception and sleight of hand.
I think just let it go.
Yeah.
Like not every background feature is going to be useful all the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you're satisfied with the other benefits,
it's just a flavor thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's legit. All right, but you are going to be a preacher. Like, that is your thing. You are going to come up and you're going to tell homilies and inspire people and pass around the collection
plate. Yes, if they give me money or
whatever. Yeah, emphasis on that last point.
Until the real divine force says yes. And like, it worked.
Oh, yes, and I heal the sick.
This is going to go over real well with the cleric in your party.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah. Infidel!
I'm not a monster. He'll be fine with it.
You're not a particular kind of monster.
I'm not an undead abomination monster.
Let's choose our words carefully.
You're half
I'm going
right?
to apply a label to you. It puts you lower down on the list.
You're half you're on my favorite list.
She does count as human for anything that cares.
Oh, good. Then you are my enemy.
She also counts as elf for anything that cares.
Yeah. Oh, I get double.
For good and bad.
Yep. So, yes, as favorite enemy, elf and human, one of those counts against her.
But I'll be so pretty.
That's fine.
With my charisma of 17.
That is pretty damn pretty.
You probably
and being a half elf. I think that makes me just double pretty.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to take deception and persuasion if you're around. I feel like you got that covered.
Remember that you guys can assist each other
mm-hmm.
with those things.
You want to help me get money?
No.
What? You need money to fund your monster hunting.
Take a look at that.
Sure.
My character is Grayson Moore. He was abducted as a child by an evil witch lady and forced to live in her horrible one-room hut.
Creepy-ass hut.
Yeah.
As her houseboy?
Yeah.
Actually, now that you mention it,
yes. Oh my god.
Over a decade.
Yep. So I'm thinking she took you at like 4. Like, she took you fucking young.
All right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What musical instrument should I
have? Was the house made of gingerbread?
That's more or less what I was going for.
What musical instrument should I know how to play? I can choose 3.
If you're a religious person, harp.
Yeah, but harp is a very practical.
I think you should. You get 3.
An organ?
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to suggest a throwaway. You should know how to play the organ.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Organ.
In addition to the organ, you should probably have at least one instrument that you can take along with you. Well, if you're going to learn how to play the organ, you might as well also know how to play the 5-fingered skin flute, right?
That's where I was going.
I know. I could hear you laughing over there. God, you are the oldest and youngest person in the room. 9-year-old.
It's an organ. It's a hand job joke.
I'm this mini. I'm in 30.
A flute or pipes would not be terrible.
When was the harmonica invented?
There are no harmonicas.
Yeah.
Tambourine.
You do not need another
tambourine.
No, we have learned
the sitar. The sitar.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you show up in a place where they've got gurus, you can be a guru playing your sitar.
She can be a combination of things for being a televangelist.
Also, I don't think tambourine is especially hard to play.
I'd fuck it up.
How would you fuck that up? Would you just take all the jangling parts off of it?
Evan has no rhythm, so I would just jangle randomly with that, like I was having
an epileptic seizure. That's what you do with, like, tambourine.
Nah, you do that in rhythm. I found that out by just jangling a tambourine and being taken away from me because I didn't have rhythm. So.
You should try having rhythm.
Anyway, super dark character background.
Yeah, super dark.
Yeah, Hansel and Gretel style. Abducted by a witch for like 14 years until one of her books started talking to him. So he stole her evil magic book, swore his allegiance to its master, and was magicked away to some place he doesn't know.
The book wasn't actually talking, it's on your head. You're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, is this book still talking to me?
Or you're still crazy. Like I said, at least once, it has. It generally does not make demands of you. And it's more... Most of the time, it's more emotional urges than anything else. Like, if you would be excited by something and the book likes that, you get really excited by it. Or if the book doesn't want you to do something, your reactions are damping down or very negative.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, at least once in, like, the... How... Let's see. You escaped at about the age of 18.
Yeah.
So... and so we're going to be about third level when things start. So in the 3 to 5 years that you have been loose in the world, learning how to socialize, because true story, Lysaga did not teach you how to
live. Yeah, I'm sure the book is, like, you can't say that.
No, the book has not
done that. They can call each other that, but...
No, the book has not done that for you. You had to learn the hard way.
Oh, shit.
But you've got a decent charisma, right?
Yes.
Turns out you picked it up fast enough. Like, at this point, you are socially able. Like I said, at least once, the book has demanded that you kill someone. It was a very specific incident. You can fill in the details, or I can fill in the details, however you would like to do
just
that.
Just anyone, or...
No. Again, it needs to be very specific, but the book has demanded that you take a life that you would not have otherwise taken.
Okay.
A baby.
Nope. Doesn't need to be. If you want to get super fucking dark, sure, I guess you can go in that direction. But you listed out your when you will and won't take a life. You will take a life when you're dealing with monsters or situations where, like, it's clear that innocents will be killed.
Yep.
So maybe, like, you there was a madman loose. People thought he was some sort of witch or something like that. And you find this guy, and he is just a babbling, crazy madman. And you're out alone. You found him in his hovel. He's got a straight razor that he stole from somewhere, and he's sharpening it as he babbles, but he's probably only going to hurt himself with it. The book is like, he has to die.
All right.
His life must end so that yours may continue, or something along those lines. Never an overt threat or anything. The book doesn't threaten. It doesn't demand. It counsels.
Okay.
Crazy.
It's just...
Batu, Barata.
Sit it down. I'm going to see if I can find the name of the thing in your book.
War and Peace.
Oh. No, not the name of the book.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Name of the...
name of the rose.
The Archfey.
Cthulhu.
They list some possibles in the Warlock Archfey thing.
He will find you a setting appropriate monster to be found to.
I really do not have hit points.
Nope, you have none. You're dead before you start.
Yeah.
Get 9 hit points.
Samesies.
And I got 12.
GULTHIAS.
Well, I thought you were saying Goldicott.
Gulthias?
Gulthias.
Gulthias. What?
I have a false identity.
As?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's just something I get as a charlatan.
Gotta kind of look at good...
False identity... Does it list in there specifically what it does?
You have created a second identity that includes documentation, established acquaintances, disguises that allow you to assume that persona. Additionally, you can forge documents, including official papers and personal letters, as long as you have seen an example of what kind of document or the handwriting you are trying to copy.
Okay, so specifically, you have the paperwork saying that you are a priest of the Temple of Moon God Love, whatever, You should come up with all that.
Moon god love.
Moon god love.
If you're gonna do this charlatan thing, for whatever religion, whether your character has made it up or whether she wants to have actually, like, had a real religion, I want a name of a god, and I want at least three basic tenets of its faith, and at least one mortal sin.
Okay. You're gonna have to make up a religion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. People do it all the time.
Exactly.
Best way to make money. L. Ron Hubbard! Best way to make money.
Mm-hmm. Hubbard agreed.
So I wrote some science fiction novels.
Mm-hmm. You mean about a monster in a spaceship that crashed into a city and some guys on there?
Ross, I'm very concerned about your Thetan levels right now.
Can I have an E-meter reading first?
All you do is hold his dick.
His dick is an E-meter?
It will be.
Oh my
just
god!
Fall.
That was shocking!
Don't worry, it'll be pointed to victory!
No! Evan is a cyclope. Where are your dreadlocks?
You'll see.
Oh no! Oh, not down there! Oh god!
Spoiler, they're actually on my ass.
Do you need a bib? Four.
Okay. Man, that was a really weird follow-up. Nick's eating a cookie, for those of you reading.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything to my crotch dress.
Yeah, for the benefit of the tape, I was talking to Nick because he's eating a cookie very messily.
They're messy cookies.
I understand.
All right, so what are you guys still working on at this point? I don't want to... I'm just waiting to jump ahead.
I'm good.
Working on stuff.
I'm as done as I can be.
I am trying to work on some concrete. I got a big plate.
I'm going to do the background from the book, the horror one.
Sure.
Or hunted one.
Okay.
It's pretty solid.
It is. And I really like the idea of being a former werewolf, so I'm going to do that.
A former werewolf?
That is one of the options on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I feel like we met in a support group.
So, specifically, a former werewolf who wishes somebody had just fucking killed him.
I fucking love everything about this. I'm so rock hard.
Is your name Robert Paulson? His name is Robert Paulson.
Yeah.
Can I see... I didn't bring a monster manual with me. Can I please see yours real quick? Sadly, the lycanthropy shit is not in the Dungeon Master's Guide. It is in the Monster
Magnet. Monster Magnet.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead?
No, Monster Magnet.
That was one of their songs.
Oh, is that where she got her name from?
Yes.
Oh.
Also, it was the most 90s name ever for the character.
That's true.
The in-character story behind that was the character was a, she could see into the future, and she knew that she was going to name herself Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and so she was like, that's my name, because I made it my name. I have to do this or I'll get a really bad headache.
Can't paradox reality.
She was a cool character, and I saw her own death twice.
Yeah. I've got the,
in the comics.
I've got the first limited edition of the Deadpool comic series before he became quite what he is now.
Yeah.
So, but thankfully, after Liefeld was not involved anymore.
I like what Liefeld did to the character. I don't like Liefeld's run on the character. If that makes any sense.
I think Fabian Nicieza, if I'm saying this right,
did more of it. Yeah,
he set the ball rolling to where he is now, and that's. I mean, sure. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I always want to say Nicieza. I don't know if that's right.
I'm just jumping around so much making this character. It's not even funny.
Jump around.
Crisscross will make you want to jump. Daddy make you want to jump.
How the fuck do you cure lycanthropy?
Wolfsbane. Sounds legit to me.
It is not as easy as just finding a plant and jamming it into a guy.
Wolfbane plus silver iodide.
You've never tried jamming a plant into a guy before.
That is entirely untrue. I did not understand what smudge stick meant when I first found one, is all I'm going to say.
So
it's a curse. You need remove curse. Okay, the end.
Ta-da!
That's easy.
That sounds relatively common.
It's a higher level spell. Like, it's not certainly not a first level spell. And there are two types of I have been bitten lycanthropes. The people fighting against it and the people who embrace it once you embrace it, you can't decurse them until they don't want to
un-embrace it.
Who or what decursed you, Ovil?
Lycanthrope?
No, yeah, that's what I'm curious.
I was actually... So, my family is, like, very minor nobility somewhere.
Okay.
I will flesh this out a little more. Sure. But, basically, political connections got me curing that a normal kid wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah, because well, I mean, was a fifth-level caster.
Was it from a particular, like, deal? I don't know, sect or wizards or something? Because I was wondering...
Can I make a suggestion? Depending on how you want to run things... You were not a man of faith in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, sure.
Got bit. Your family found out about it. Like, you went to your parents and you were like, look, when those things attacked the village,
yeah.
I got bit by one, and I know I'm a lycanthrope because last week I fucking murdered some guys.
Yeah.
This is real bad. And they're like, yeah, but they were peasants. Come on, we're taking you into the big city.
Yeah.
And essentially the local church was like, yeah, we can cure him, but he's ours now.
Sure.
You had to renounce your ties to your family, and you became essentially a hunter for the church.
Yeah,
like they brought you in to do that.
Is that church what she's faking to be a member of?
If they want to be from the same world, sure.
No, it's a real goddamn church.
Yeah, mine's gonna be.
Oh, you're gonna make something up completely. Oh,
she's just making that shit up.
Oh, that'd be funny.
No, I have a real motherfucking god.
Oh, okay. You work for the Pope.
Vengeful motherfucker.
So you're James Woods from Vampires.
Again, at least three tenants, at least one mortal sin. Go ahead and come up with a longer list if you want. What alignment are you gonna take?
Lawful good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how?
John Carpenter's Vampires. Novel, much better than the movie.
No, the movie was fantastic. Said no.
Have you
ever
read the book?
No, the movie was real bad.
Oh,
I don't actually believe the book is
amazing.
The movie was so bad.
I gotta say, it's one of the, of all the book to movie translations, it is one of the greatest crimes that they didn't just follow the book.
Sure.
The book is awesome.
Nick, what alignment are you going to take for your...
Chaotic good.
Cool. So you two make an interesting dichotomy,
yeah.
But we've got a whole good cop, bad cop thing going on.
We're
going
to get along in a way.
Yeah. You both have the same goals.
Right.
So for purposes of in-character, for those not in the know, as in you are not a divine spellcaster... The line between sorcerer, wizard, and warlock is an unknown. Like, there is not that delineation in-game except among those people who understand their own. You have to be, like, a trained arcanist to understand how that shit works. So, unless Nick, your character, goes around telling people, I gained my powers through the voice in this book. Like, they're not going to understand that you've made a pact with some sort of entity just because of the way that you cast your spells or that you summon a pact blade or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You're probably going Pact of the Tome, aren't you? Because you've got a book. Yeah, I figured that out.
It was
I
right there.
To make
good,
sense.
Good job.
Here it is.
You got that.
I did eventually get there.
All right, leather armor.
And I'm doing like earth magic or something.
Yeah, again, you are... People are not going to understand, like, that this cleric, even though you both have divine magic, what you do and what he does do not intersect.
Will people understand what I do?
Yeah, that it's bullshit? Well, yeah.
You're willfully misdirecting them.
She's a bard. She actually
the
does
primeval,
yeah.
The primeval instinct or whatever I get at third level is better than divine sense. It detects more creatures.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's... Why does this guy get something better than a...
I know that Nick hates on rangers. I think that the hate on for rangers is that they are not... the most efficient class. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of things they get to do.
Yeah.
They're definitely jacks of all trade. And this is going to be very much a flavor as much as mechanics game.
Yeah.
So I think that the flavor of that ranger is going to come in real handy.
I just find them, especially at lower levels, boring.
Sure.
Like, their powers don't interest me.
Yes, Bill.
So I'm looking through the list of trinkets in this background.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A vial of perfume, the scent of which only certain creatures can detect. Like vampires?
Sure. Absolutely. You write that shit down. I'm harder than hard for that.
Smells like blood.
Are you as hard as my half-elf?
No. No one is that hard. She's got three little teardrop tattoos on her cheek.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah, onion domes on her back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just smiling and be like, give me
fun. So, I fucking murdered three men in prison.
This list is amazing.
Oh, the gothic trinkets. All of you can pull from the amazing. Gothic trinket list, by the way, if you so
what? What's a gothic
is that trinket? My amber shard, or do I have something else, too?
Your amber shard is a thing that I have dictated that you have, but it is essentially a trinket. You can roll on the trinket list if you want to start with a trinket, but you absolutely have that, and you did not have that before you woke up in that barn.
Where's the trinket list?
Bard spells, huh?
That particular trinket list is in the back of the Curse of Strahd book.
Oh. So I just pick one, or is it
a picture you drew as a child of your imaginary friend?
So, Brandon's sitting there awful quiet, but his background could, I don't know, in some way connect with Bill's.
Yeah.
There's a weremonster in here. It
is. I'm a weremonster, yes, on my background.
You have a weremonster in your background?
I do.
Oh, that's right. You fucking,
My first...
That's a murder one.
Yeah. I killed one, yes.
Actually, I would, unless you guys have an objection to it, if you're gonna link up with another character, I think you and Ross...
That's what I was thinking,
would
too.
...link up fairly well.
A wineskin that refills when interred with a dead person for the night?
I don't think you want that.
I don't. That's I'm just useless.
I will 100% let you have that.
No.
It's going to do more than what's printed in there, is all I'm saying. No, just,
this list is amazing.
Yeah, there it is. Great.
A set of silverware used by a king for his last meal.
Yeah, gothic trinkets.
Oh, so man. Where would I have gotten any of these?
It's just some shit you could have found. Like
no,
something
you just found it in your pocket.
Something.
Oh, hey.
Does it do something?
Most of them
if you get
a
wineskin that refills when interred with the corpse, I promise you it will do something.
A spyglass that always shows the world suffering a terrible storm? These are amazing.
Yeah, they really are.
A tiny spool of black...
This was a fun day at the office for them.
A teacup from a child's tea set stained with blood. I'm so hard.
A small worn book of children's nursery rhymes.
Where are spells? I found spells.
A birdcage into which small birds fly, but once inside, never eat or leave.
That's pretty fucking grim.
That is some fucked up shit. God damn. Pallid leather gloves crafted with ivory fingernails. A ring of keys for forgotten locks. Yeah, this is my crazy man janitor key ring.
A pouch made of flesh with a sinew drawstring.
I mean, to be fair, that just described a leather pouch.
Oh, can I have two of these? Can I have my perfume and another one? Because I really want a walking cane with an iron ferrule that strikes sparks on stone.
You can have one plot-associated trinket from that list, and the other one I could give half a shit about. Yeah. If you are taking that perfume that's only smelled...
Oh, yeah, no, that's happening.
Yeah, that's...
Hey, Ellen?
Right, yep. I'm also taking the staff, because that's a...
How about this? The unopened letter to you from your dying father. I'll leave that open-ended for you.
You should email me to remind me about that. Sure. Absolutely, 100% Lulu.
So, I feel like before I left this witch's house, I absolutely grabbed her lantern with a black candle that never runs out and burns with green flame.
Green flame!
Yeah, you know Perkins wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
Can I see that list?
Just okay. Stroking it. Sorry. So good as he wrote it down.
There's another column.
Did it scroll down or
just
like...
Side up.
Yeah. That is one of the weirdest like side throwaway jokes about the live D&D games at PAX that I can't believe has turned into the thing it's turned into.
Yep.
Which?
Oh, you've never been to one of these?
No.
So like the first time he was like, well, how did it go? Like he was like, oh, what color fireball is this or whatever? It's green. And like the audience shouts green flame or something. And now every time he mentions flame... 3,000 nerds go fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So it started, it's from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Well, the dude, it's just, it's not even a moment in Big Trouble in Little China. It's like the old Chinese guy's telling the story, and he says there was green flames, and the government agent he's saying
it to. Said, oh, it wasn't Jack
No, Burton. It's like the framing device. Like, the cop he's talking to is like, green flames.
So a whole bunch of nerds just got that reference and shouted it out when he said, oh, it's a green fireball?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I can't wait until The Rock recreates that.
And now it's a thing.
Okay. I should, like, throw some stats in, I guess. I'm just doing math now.
I was looking at cantrips. Because I have two cantrips. I was thinking minor illusion.
I am going to give you guys each your starting monies. Instead of using the starting gear, I know this is going to take another couple of minutes, but instead of like using the starting gear chart, I would like you to spend this starting money because I want to know how much cash you have on you otherwise. Because that will actually be a thing.
Okay,
so instead of getting this shit from my background and class.
Correct, you're going to get this instead, but it's going to be a lot more money, and you can still get those things with it.
Okay.
You're just going to have to minus out the actual value for those from the system. So.
What are our monies?
All right, Georgie, we will get yours taken care of first. You are going to get... Really good.
Well, I'm a charlatan, so.
Uh, 230 gold pieces.
230.
And. Another 110 gold worth of gems.
Jesus.
I'd just consider another 110 gold. Like I said, you guys are going to have bank on this. The important thing is you guys are going to end up with some consumable magic items out of this.
So I got 340 gold, essentially.
Yep. For those of you keeping track at home, I am rolling... These guys are going to be starting at level 3... So I'm rolling three times on the Treasure Hoard, challenge 0 through 4, table in the Dungeon Master's Guide, page 137, with the idea that essentially every time these guys have gained a level plus an extra one because I'm a really nice guy, they have completed that number of adventures and gotten this sort of payout out of it. If you guys are playing
I thought we were making first level characters.
You are.
Okay. Carry on. Sorry.
Yep. I'm figuring out how much money you guys have when game starts. We're going to talk about what happened between first level and third level. And the reason I want to talk that through before you make third level characters is ideally I would like it to impact some of the choices.
Sure.
And it definitely will. Like, I don't know what I'm going to take in those choices because I wanted to see how the rest of the party shaped out.
Sure. I'm rolling. Wow, Georgie. All right. Let's see if you break my game from the get-go.
Well, I'm the charlatan, so I've conned people out of all of their stuff, including the party members.
I'm going to think really hard about that one.
It's not like you can buy shit.
You robbed from Bill's church.
No, they willingly gave it to me when I told them lies.
Dun, dun, dun! Another 1,000 gold to the charlatan.
And... Wow, all right, that was a tight set of rolls. You have 3 spell scrolls of first level of your choice.
First level spells.
Unless you would like me to randomly give you 3 first level spells, I am excited to do that.
Fuck it, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if there's a...
Oh, and these will dictate to you what your religion tells you to do. Or...
Bathe the world in flames. Gotcha.
Are these scrolls that you can reuse?
No. Scrolls are one of these. You guys are not going to start the game with like +1 weapons or reusable magic items or anything like that.
Yeah, I'll be like healing potions.
Can I just get a quiver of endless arrows?
You sure can't.
Oh.
You can only have one arrow too.
Oh. I gotta keep retrieving it.
And there's a
I shoot a guy, run up to him, thanks,
and
run back.
And there's a 50% chance that the arrow will either break or you can't find it.
Mm. Yeah. I'm useless after one shot.
No. I'm assuming that's the rules Evan's going for.
No, yeah, absolutely. What are we talking about?
No.
Screwing Ross.
Whoa. I was trying to turn into a statue tonight, and apparently I'm now Evan's
personal... I think that's how I want to stack.
Evan's personal right. Cum dumpster zone.
Whoa.
Yeah, solid. For a war cleric? Absolutely. Yeah.
How do you pickle ghosts? Oh, ghouls. Never mind. Yeah.
Pickled ghost tongue. It's just a jar of pickling liquid.
I can't see ghost tongue in that.
No, you're a charlatan. You convinced them that's what it is.
Yes.
So, Bill, you're basically Van Helsing.
I didn't want to say it out loud.
Yeah. I mean, the Hugh Jackman Van Helsing.
You have a scroll of heroism.
Heroism.
A scroll of...
A scroll of Cure Wounds.
Cure Wounds.
That's family. And a scroll of... Explosive Diarrhea.
Goodberry.
Goodberry. Oh, so Goodberry. I can feed people and cure their wounds.
Oh, no. Goodberry's a healing spell. It will feed them for a day.
Yeah.
But
it is not a healing spell.
Come on!
Yeah, isn't it one hit point? Goodberry. It's mostly a stabilization spell.
It's like Goodburger.
It restores one hit point and keeps you full for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dieting spell.
I will cure your fatness.
Right. Nick, you ready for this shit?
Yeah, I'm all ready for this. Dun 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 dun.
Five gold. Dun,
dun. So, 200 gold.
A small locked box that quietly hums a lovely melody at night, but you always forget it in the morning.
All right.
I really like the journal that writes down your dreams.
Beautiful. I also like the porcelain.
Another 350 gold worth of gems.
A porcelain doll's head that always.
I fucking loaded my pockets before I left.
No, this is a thing that the two of you have been into. We'll get into that in a minute because clearly,
I'm excited for him to come out with like four silvers.
Right. Yeah. Well, he clearly gave the rest.
Here's the thing: you keep having to hunt this werewolf that shows up in other villages, and like Dragonheart, yeah.
And a potion of healing.
I was thinking of Brothers Grimm because that's...
Yeah, there's that too. Yes, there's that too.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't get nearly all the other stuff they did, but you got a shit ton of money.
I thought Bill just terrorizes the villages as
I don't
a
even know what I'm doing.
You're not a werewolf anymore, though.
But you know how to act like one. So you put on a costume, you're
around.
Wouldn't. Okay.
I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with all that money. All I wanted beyond my starting gear was studded leather instead of regular leather.
There you
well,
go.
You got that.
Yeah, stud it with some gold coins.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
Barbarian.
Yeah, how does a barbarian make all this money?
Skins. I got all this metal that he was giving me. I don't know.
Animal skins.
Something like that, yeah.
I was pondering what plate armor costs.
I'm going to get five gold.
A lot. But once you buy plate armor, like, there's nothing else to
You're
buy.
Done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
240 gold plus.
Can I see my player's handbook?
Denied.
You can see your phone though.
Oh, thanks.
No, I said see.
Jeez Louise.
Are you taking a trinket?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know how to make a character.
Another 125 gold worth of art objects.
You stole a bunch of art.
You absolutely were just like waving your way down through the Northlands, like, oh, a manor house. He's like a Viking raiding parrot.
He has like a bag with the Mona Lisa in it.
But that's
it's all erotic figurines.
And they are covered.
Oh, yeah.
Better also lamps?
Yeah.
No. You ready for some money?
I love money.
You're not getting a lot.
You get five gold.
Oh, no, there we go. So that's 250 gold.
Okay.
Plus.
$5.
Uh, Another 175 gold, also worth of art objects. Do with that as you will.
Yep.
Oh, no, I know exactly what happened there. You guys were absolutely on the same set of runs, but he was doing it for the church. You were looking for bad people, and you found naughty things that the church didn't want these people to have.
So definitely.
You absolutely took them, brought them back to the church, and like, yeah, there's a bounty on that. Yeah. And either the head bishop burned them all, or they're in his office, and he is just rubbing his naked hairy body
whatever,
against
man.
Them. But you got paid, sure. Son!
Yeah.
Ross.
Yes, I got the least amount of money in the whole.
You have so far. But as the cleric...
Don't worry.
I don't get magic items.
You did not roll high enough. I did not roll high enough for you on the chart to get you magic items. He didn't either.
I've been rolling ones all night, so...
You should have been the charlatan.
I'll probably get less.
Or the warlock.
You can cast spells, you're fine.
I got one healing potion.
What about me? I can't cast spells.
I have five. Then I'll probably give to someone else.
I got cure wounds.
I don't have a good feeling.
170 gold plus
a bow that shoots unicorns.
Not out of it, just fucking kills unicorns. This is terrible.
170 in gold.
170.
Is that worse than Bill? Yes.
Another 100 gold worth of art objects.
Yes, you got fucked.
Yeah, I did. Guild Wars 2 actually does have a bow that shoots unicorns.
Yep.
That fucking game.
That crap rainbows.
Yes.
Red Faction Armageddon.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with the Red Faction series of video games, Destructible Terrain and all that. After you beat the game, you can play it in New Game Plus mode, where in the first level, you open a crate, and there's a cute little plushy unicorn that, like, loves up on your leg like a cat, and then you pick it up, and you hold your, you cradle it under one arm, because it's much smaller than you are, and hold its tail up with the other hand, so it's behind the back of you video game. So you see this unicorn just, like, rubbing up against you and smiling and making unicorn sounds, and then when you press the fire button, you pull its tail back, and it fires rainbows out of its ass, while it, like, shrieks in ecstasy at the camera. It is some fucked up shit, but goddamn do those unicorns just blow the fuck out of stuff. Ugh. So hot right now.
Okay.
Alright. So, Georgie, I do not want you, with the character background that you have, if I make you odd person out and not attached to one of these groups already, you will have a hard time making friends in character, I suspect. So we should hook you into one of these two groups.
Okay.
With everything that you have heard, do you have a preference to which group you hook into?
Not really.
If she's
I am very unhelpful.
If she's religious,
I guess. I don't know. I'm not
a charlatan,
monster killer.
A fucking charlatan.
She's a good charlatan.
I think that's going to hold up until the first round of actual gameplay.
Yeah.
I don't imagine she'd be a monster hunter, so probably the other group then.
Sure. So the barbarian and the ranger, the people that you are aware of. That's fine.
Barbarian's dumb. I can, con him from all his art.
I actually have exactly.
She's a cleric from a powerful god.
Right. Exactly.
I'm assuming
her god is huge. It's the best god. People talk about this god.
The god is actually just a giant great axe.
He is.
He is god of the axes.
He is massive, though. Like, seriously.
There's
Think
no
of the
problem.
Biggest thing.
I guarantee there's no problem.
He's bigger than that.
True Strike seems pretty awesome.
Well, it's basically a guaranteed hit, but you're only attacking every other round.
Alright, which...
Why is a spyglass 1,000 gold points?
Because gold pieces...
Yeah,
not gold points. Yeah. Because both of the lenses in the spyglass are made of finely ground, completely transparent glass, and this is a medieval fantasy world where that shit's hard to come by. And if you fuck it up, you gotta start over.
Yep. Do I have to, like... I can buy an equipment pack without having to go through all this other stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you can just say, what's in your equipment pack. Alright, so do the pair of monster hunters or the two berserk murderers and the charlatan want to go first?
berserk.
Berserker!
I'm not a berserker.
I am a berserker.
My love for you is ticking clock. Berserker! Would you like to making fuck berserker? Well,
it's from fucking Clerks. How do you
I know. It's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That is the best song ever!
Did that guy just say making fuck?
Trying to choose my cantrip.
Ross is too old for the Clerks to really.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just too old.
Let's go. We'll go.
Go where?
I don't know. Where are you leading us?
Okay. Well, after my underwhelming economic gain,
I took all the money.
I start basically where I started with the basic kit, so sure. I have 178 gold remaining.
Well, in my defense, you guys can't cast the spells very well.
178 gold is like enough to buy a house.
Ooh, I can buy a camel.
I live light. Oh, what can I say? Being a peasant.
Oh, I buy a house and retire.
Yeah. Very good. Make a new character.
God damn it.
You don't get any rolls on the gold chart in your first level. Fuck you.
I gotta save enough money to send my kid to magic college.
Oh, that's right. You got a kid. You got a family.
I got a wife and a kid. I got stuff at home I gotta take care of.
Don't worry, it's fine.
Shut up. I don't believe you. Somehow, I don't believe you.
I don't know.
Actually, you know what?
Probably at the dice
pool. As we start, she should make a deception check to see if she's convinced us that she is what she is. Or don't mind that. Do we know? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Never mind. You know what you're doing.
Wait, do you know how to give a recap?
Did you just ask me if I know how to talk? Ugh. Thank God somebody's finally asked.
No,
I've just been waiting for someone to ask.
To finally let loose.
Recapping is talking. I've had this pent up for so long.
No. You didn't say
recap. It's been so long.
You didn't say recap, you said kneecap.
Yeah, do you know how to kneecap? I do.
So keep it short.
I guess we won't start with you if you're going to wander the fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Evan.
But do you know how to kneecap?
I just want all of the cantrips.
Then you should have been a warlock in Pact of the Tome. When I hit second level, I get to pick 3 cantrips from any class list.
What bullshit exotic language do vampires speak?
They don't.
I didn't think.
I need to choose a language that I know that's not Elvish or Common, because I know it, because I'm a half elf.
You're half elf?
Dwarven.
Is there any language that would be good for me to know?
Vistani.
I took giant and orc. Sure,
I'll take Vistani.
Giant orc and common.
I don't know how to say
unless there's like a church language or something in this world.
Druids have their own language. Thieves have their own language.
Yeah, but I think druids can only take druid.
Correct. Yeah, you cannot take druidic. You did not.
I could fake it.
Sure. By taking a level of druid, I will let you learn that. But one of your levels.
Well, I said
to be
I could
druid.
Fake it, so I'd have to do a deception roll to see if I could convince non-druids.
Right, but to the druids, it would sound super racist, like going up to a Chinese person and saying "Ching Chong Wing Wong." Like that, it's just not acceptable. It's just not done.
Wait,
what? Yeah, Nick, this is really bad. I've been meaning to talk to you about this.
I really feel like you should have mentioned this before.
It's even more awkward because you go up to the Vietnamese people and do that.
Yeah.
The Pacific Islanders really hate it.
And you.
And you. Yeah, but that's for other reasons.
Oh, is that the mini you're going to use?
Yeah.
Do you have a Ranger-esque type mini?
Yes.
What a barbarian.
Yes. We have so many minis.
Fair warning as you guys are getting this settled and I'm bringing up the notes that I need on this. My intention is to only run, like, tabletop draw out the map encounters when they are necessary. So we'll be doing as much theater of the mind as we are going to be doing map drawing stuff.
Okay.
So, I'm all in for that.
I didn't think it was going to be too much of a problem, but
that's a girl.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was a girl or just an elf.
There's not much of a difference.
I appreciate that you wouldn't let me have the book and then have not used it at all.
I picked two cantrips.
Yeah, Nick.
So fuck you in your asshole.
Whoa.
That's how you keep a relationship fresh.
Pegging?
Hey, boy! And squeeze.
If you want to be a lady.
Declench.
Oh. He's a lady! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Goddamn, she's wearing tight pants.
Tight pants.
Look at that butt.
Okay.
Got one with an
ass. It is a small plastic butt.
No,
yeah,
it's
right there.
Pewter.
Oh, is it pewter? My bad.
No.
Pewter ass. Better than PewDiePie.
This shouldn't be in here.
There we go.
There's a dragon board.
What
the dragon?
It is a pirate chef.
Oh, well, that's the mini he should have been using the whole
yeah,
time.
The whole time! There was a pirate chef?
I know, right?
Is that rangery enough?
That looks definitely rangery to me. That's cool.
Or did you want this ridiculous mic?
No, I'll take the somewhat Robin Hood-esque.
This one's also very rangery.
Let's see.
This is rangery.
Yeah, whatever. Actually, I feel like
the moose. Look at the tiny little mooseling.
Hey, this guy's got a bow and arrow, which that's his main thing. So, all
right,
let's stick with something like that.
What? You can be this, and I can be this, and Brandon can be this.
I've got this straw 100%.
I feel like that'll never create any.
Is that a she?
Oh,
it is. A
oh dear, dear.
Yeah, it is a girl. Okay.
I mean, whatever.
I got our group's minis picked out.
Oh. Muselings.
This is Brandon's character, this is your character, and this one's mine.
I'll pick through those that big box of yours next time.
The most barbarian-y things I've got.
You go.
For the sake of this one, too.
Or, yes, this mouseling barbarian.
Mouseling barbarian?
Weremouse.
Hey, he's got...
I got the mouseling bard, too. And then the
mouse
ranger.
Yeah, well, I might actually do the mouse guy. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. There's your barbarian. Yeah, I'll do that.
Now, if you're not doing the typical ranger, is this?
All right.
This is Redwall. I mean, what do we do with that? Jesus.
So,
Or you could be a pirate.
We're going to start up with...
Secrets of Nim. No,
let's get all of your characters here. Ross, mm-hmm. Your character's name is Hadwin. Hadwin of Shaw?
Not Hadwin of Shaw. That's where I got the name from.
Probably
but,
good. Yeah. Brandon, what's your character's name?
It is... Jan Skarn Leithir.
If it was Hadwin of Shaw, he and Strahd would be like best friends.
Shaw?
I should probably come
you call
up
me
with
Shaw
a
for short, yeah.
Yeah, Jordan, you need a character name.
There we go.
Yeah, had one of Shaw.
What do you think? This looks like a cleric monster hunter to me.
Fucking
he's got
I
mutton
does.
Chops.
Mutton chops it is.
He's got mutton chops and he's got a handlebar mustache, which yeah. is like, that is how you hunt monsters.
Yep.
Well, I got the mini for Nick's tome.
Yeah. It's going to follow me.
I'm fine.
That's a little weird. Yeah, no, I'll take the mouse.
Okay. Man.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll use the lady ring.
Yeah, you gotta have a name.
No one has ever had life so hard.
Cymbeline!
Okay.
Birgit.
Alright, internet.
Birgit.
Bill, you also need a name.
Bettina.
Francis. Go Francis for that.
Francis?
Francis. Francis. Francis Underwood. Francis.
Anybody calls me Francis, I'll fucking kill him. Lighten up, Francis.
It's Rex. Don't call me Francis.
Got there. Lighten up, Francis.
Now it's Ajax.
Alright, well, since Georgie's still looking up names, we're going to do Nick and Bill first.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic.
So, you found yourself in one of the years ago coming to in one of the outlying forms of a community called Haven, which is fairly far from the capital, but still a member of the Nation of Darkon, Darkon, for in case that matters. And because of your talents, you had a couple of options. One of them was absolutely being burned at the stake, and the other one was using your services to the best benefit of the community in a way that you wanted to anyway. So that,
do I have time to think about it?
You absolutely do. You have a couple of years to get that shit together. Like, okay. Whatever farm you woke up on, like I'm imagining that your initial life experiences post-escape from Lysaga are completely alien to you, in that, like, you wake up in this barn, a farmer, like, comes in, pitchfork in hand, looks you up and down, asks if you've had a rough night, helps you up, and feeds you breakfast.
And then I offer to wash him in goat's blood.
Right? Like, do you need to be washed in goat's blood? Yeah, reckon I don't need that, but you could help me feed the chickens and the cows. And you fed goats, so you can handle kind of some basic livestock duties.
Mm-hmm. I also know how to murder a goat.
you truly do. Yeah, with your eyes closed.
Goat killer.
Very quickly, you know, with the book whispering the how-tos and the wherefores for you, you can make your way from itinerant farmhand to doing something a little bit more important with your life. You will find your way into the city, which is controlled, as much as there is a king in this kingdom, and there is like a council of land barons and things like that, and in theory there is a baron of Haven that controls the districts. The true power in the region is the church. Bill, tell us about the church.
The church is very vengeful. This is not a come clap your hands and sing songs kind of church. There is evil and wrong in the world, and it will be fucking stamped out.
Who or what does the church worship?
The church worships a god that I have not identified yet. I can do my homework like a good kid.
That's okay. I didn't ask you this question in your homework. Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot right fucking now. But a single god? There's not a pantheon?
No, it worships a single god.
Okay.
The one true god?
Exactly. Lord of Light.
Do you want this church?
Actually, maybe, yeah. We will burn out evil with fire.
Okay. Is there... we're not going to go full Game of Thrones. It can't be R'hllor, the god of light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want this god to have a name?
Yeah, let me get back to you.
Sure.
I'm bad at naming things. I gotta think about it. So, yeah, very vengeful, not a very large church, but through its members' devotion and willingness to be cutthroat, very powerful. They will cross lines that other people will not cross.
Sure. So we're talking like you guys have a straight up Inquisition
basically
going.
Yes.
So here's my headspace on the church, and I'm going to give you as much free rein as you would like to modify this. Your church absolutely has like a high cardinal, a head of the church, who lives in the capital, probably in the same castle as the king, and technically his throne's a little bit smaller, but he sits taller on it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
The kind of guy that the king has to go to be like, so I'm thinking about passing some taxation laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are ordained, my son, to do so. Yeah. There might be one ordained cardinal, actual member of the church, ordained cardinal, per large city. And that cardinal is invested with the power by the church to name pastors. to name individuals to go out and have mission in individual communities and preach those individual communities. But there is not a cloister of monks and nuns or anything like that.
There's like six guys in the city.
Right, exactly. There are a handful of people in the church, and they are, to a man, all of them actually have levels as divine spellcasters. Like one of the powers, magic is rare but powerful in the world that you guys are coming from. So this church, every actual member of this church being able to cure wounds and like heal illness is a big fucking deal.
Right.
And anybody who cannot do that thing
is not in. Yeah, I like that.
From the outside, the claim that the church makes is you have to be chosen by the God. Right. You are chosen by God to serve and to call. Your personal experience is 100%. You were some dumb fuck kid who was just going to live high on the hog.
Right.
Then you got turned into a werewolf, and then one of these cardinals put a burning brand to your forehead, pushed the evil out of you, looked you in the eye and said, "You are called." And you could not do any magic until you went away for a long, long time and came back being able to do the things that you did. So whether you have been indoctrinated into the thought that you were actually called, like you definitely have divine magic. Right?
Yeah.
There's divine magic coursing through you.
Yeah.
Whether you have swallowed that piece.
You don't go away for many years without a good brainwashing, right?
Right.
I was fucking
called. A good and proper brain scrub.
But whether or not your character harbors any doubts to, like, was I trained to do something that anybody could be trained to do?
Yeah.
Or is this something that only the few are actually capable of? If you want a character flaw floating in there other than the one in the book, by the way, all of you absolutely need to pick character flaws for your characters. That is how it will give you expertise. Or not expertise, that's how it will give you inspiration, is you playing up your flaws.
Yep.
But if you want kind of a chink in your character's armor, that can be one of them. What?
You know, that's okay. Oh, for God's sakes. Context clues.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the context is Evan said it.
Yeah, that's fair. Grayson's initial interactions with the church were probably not very positive in that he just kind of stayed away because...
They will kill me in my book.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I imagine his first interactions where he kind of came out of the magic closet and people saw that he could do magic were situations where he could not help but have to do it. Probably the initial one being a dire wolf, like you said in your background, like that. You know, you rose above the common folk when this thing was stalking through the streets of the village that this farm was attached to. Other people were running away because it's the size of a goddamn horse and the arrows are just sticking out of it and it's not slowing down. And you pull out into the street and you Eldritch blast this thing to death when nobody else can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So the common folk aren't going to turn you in. Are instead going to say things like, you should avoid the church. Just... Stay on the down low. Eventually, just by dint of the desire that you have to do right and to help the communities around you. Church of Divine Purity. Perfect. I love everything about this.
And Brandon is posing as one of its first monks.
Yep. Taking a nap. Taking him a monk nap. Eventually rumors start getting out to the people who actually care about these things that there's some unsanctioned person out there utilizing supernatural power to go into things. You've never run into another wizard or certainly not another warlock or anything like that. But you have not made much in the way of enemies, but word does get around. Is it safe to assume with the background that you are building for your character build that if you are part of the group investigating these rumors and come across this guy when he is doing something to help the community around him,
mm-hmm.
that would be enough to stay, like, a vengeful?
He would not be immediately killed.
Not immediately.
We're going to have some conversations instead of just murdering him.
Sure. I would like to suggest, unless either of you have a problem with it, that the first... basically, the first interaction between Grayson and the Church of Divine Purity is when Brother Francis? You can decide what your title is.
Yeah.
Arbiter Francis?
I like Arbiter.
Yeah. Arbiter might be a little bit higher. Maybe you can eventually be an Arbiter. Yeah.
Inquisitor.
I am perfectly fine with Inquisitor.
Yeah, but yeah, Inquisitor seems very good.
Two games in a row, Inquisitor.
Yep. But Inquisitor...
That's just all I do now. I've typecast myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah.
Bill worked, Inquisitor.
Inquisitor Francis asking you some serious questions about things, and you being able to keep up on some of the important ones, probably how to deal with X, Y, or Z supernatural threat, and this is one of those times when the book is whispering to you. What's the best way to deal with blah, blah, and blah? I'm like, oh, well, you need cold iron to deal with creatures like that because the book's telling you that you need cold iron. Mm-hmm. So, a person trained to deal with supernatural threats, just not trained by the church.
Yeah.
When you ascertain that he is not using divine magic to do what he is doing, he's not immediately a heretic.
Yeah.
And because he's using it to help people, he is not immediately a heretic. So he solved those two problems.
Yeah. And it's just Francis because I had to give up my family.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. You have no last name.
Yeah.
Yep.
It probably wasn't even Francis.
Sure. Francis can be one of the saints.
I'm thinking I might go like full support with my bard.
Bards are fucking awesome, full support.
Because I'm just looking at some of the stuff, and a lot of stuff that's making me smile is more supporty, like Tasha's hideous laughter.
Sure.
Like, where they just fall prone in fits of laughter.
So, that you guys have got your background has how you got to first level. In terms of moving from first to third, like stepping out of the ranks of even the uncommon into the heroic. Problems, the city of Haven is right on a very vast wood, a very vast pine forest that stories say used to be where the elven kingdom, the ancient elven kingdom, used to be centered somewhere deep in these woods, but anyone going to look for it gets lost. And that the elves that wander through the cities these days are nothing like, little 5-foot pointy-eared elves are nothing like the 7-foot tall eyes of pure gold elves who could teleport around and all sorts of crazy high elf eladrin nonsense that just does not exist in the world anymore. Things start going bad in the woods. A couple of years ago is when this started, kind of right around when Grayson first showed up.
Not it.
Things like dire wolves started attacking people from the woods, and certainly they weren't unheard of in Darken before, but they are they're a common threat now. In addition to issues like that, the kind of people who would just normally be bandits living off of terrifying people and attacking people on the road are starting to congregate deeper and deeper into the woods, starting to organize. And there has long been suspected that there's been an organizing force motivating them. That's not really confirmed until as these bandit attacks continue happening on the edge of the forest, they start taking what people first think are trophies until the church gets involved. And they're not taking trophies from their victims. They're taking spell components from their victims, the kind of spell components that you would use in dark, like necromantic and evil rituals.
Yeah.
To Grayson, it reminds him of the kinds of things that Lysaga would gather up.
I've sorted these shelves.
Yes, yeah. Specifically ring fingers from widows and, the eyeballs of children and things like that. So a fairly organized hunt is begun, and Grayson is either tapped by the church because Francis suggests him, or volunteers in because it's the right thing to do, whichever it may be. But you guys end up as part of the same hunting team. Basically the woods are broken up. This vast forest is broken up into different sectors that different groups have, charge over. And your team is part of going through and dealing with these difficulties. Instead of filling out all of the specifics and details, if there are specific events that you guys want to make sure that happen in this set of adventures, essentially this is over a year of game time that occurs from start to finish. You guys starting at like trying to track down this, it's safe to call it a cult, track down the cult, track down their lieutenants so they can point you in the direction of their leadership. When you start running into some pretty next level shit. People with tentacles replacing arms, and you know they've got suckers for mouths, and they're draining the life force out of people, like straight up
D&D. Which is how I learned Abyssal.
I'm in. Yeah, that's that's legit. Yeah, you've learned it to interrogate them in their own language. I love everything about that. But over the course of that year, moving up from dealing with these threats all the way to finding out information about the group of witches, warlocks, evil spellcasters, let's not split hairs, but evil divine, not divine, but evil arcane casters that are using what you come to find out is a series of elven ruins in the dark depths of these woods that have all these confusion spells around them to keep outsiders out. They're essentially the tomb cities of the elves that used to live here before the civilization died. And these people have rolled in and are corrupting that magic and using it for their own purposes. In kind of dealing with those problems and the bevy of cult leadership with that, that is how you guys have gained the experience necessary to move yourselves from level one up to level three, as you power through that. Nick, what was with all that information, what was the crowning achievement that your group of hunters had in dealing with this threat?
We found tracks indicating that a traveling family that was trying to move to another town, their carriage was waylaid and taken alive by these cultists as sacrifices. And Inquisitor Francis managed to take one alive and, using his methods, find out where they are, where they were being taken to be sacrificed, and we managed to arrive just in the nick of time to save them.
Excellent.
I just want to interject something very out of character. It occurs to me the last time we did exactly this buddy routine, I shot you in the head.
Which was also the first game you two ever played it together, wasn't it?
I remember this as well. I believe in that game, I was an Inquisitor.
You were the Inquisitor. Yeah. I was just and a psycho member of the church.
You were a contractor. Yes. Yeah. So, the Eldritch Blast is on the other foot.
Oh my god. Someone's getting shot in the head. I don't want to say who, but it'll be a surprise to you.
Mirror universe.
Oh, can I change my crowning achievement?
Absolutely. You die to a character creation, make a new character.
Yeah.
Surprise. You're dead.
I already hand wrote all this shit.
Francis too.
Yeah. Francisco.
How many originally, Bill, were in your hunting party, and how many survived?
Originally, there were seven of us, which would have been basically the entire contingent of the church except for the Archbishop of the city.
Okay.
And, your name I just blanked.
Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
Two of them didn't make it back.
Yes. And then the giant man was back.
How did they die?
One died because one of the monsters was able to split him off the party. Had some sound location, you know, feature, effectively.
Tricked him,
Tricked him and lured him away.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It was me the whole time!
And he was just brought down by a group of them at once.
Sure.
And then the other was in the final battle when we tracked down where this family had been taken. Just one went down in the fight as we were trying to capture this thing.
Nick, what was the worst moment in this year-long campaign? Not necessarily for you personally. What was the low point for your group?
When that guy who got separated, we found him, and he was still a little bit alive, but absolutely insane and just disemboweled.
Yeah. Seated up against a tree, holding his guts in his lap.
Who mercy killed him, Bill?
I did.
Okay.
Because he was turning into a zombie. No, his guts were turning into a zombie.
He spent time alone with a monster of unknown origin and power. Like, I want to be really clear about the Church of Purity here. Like, if you leave your baby alone with what I think is a werewolf, that's a problem.
And if you have Remove Curse...
Fantastic.
There could be a solution to that problem. You don't have that.
I don't have
that. Only third level. Right. I'm just putting that out there.
And if you don't have that, we can also cure the problem, just not the way you
I'm
just saying that there are many subtle levels of Remove Curse.
There are treatment options available.
The first of them is a warhammer.
I find it amusing because I think my religion is going to be like the complete kind of opposite of you, of be kind. And,
you're
you know,
hippie bullshit.
Yeah, like hippie bullshit.
Be forgiving. Everyone's loved.
Okay. While I'm asking these other three questions, go ahead. If you want to do your paperwork, get yourselves leveled up to three at this point. We will deal with the inciting action in just a moment. Georgie, what's your character name?
Lacey Moore.
Put that on the ground. It's garbage.
Throw it on the ground!
We have the exact same last name.
Do we?
Yes.
What?
Oh my god, I didn't even notice.
You're
that.
Already married.
No relation. It's still there. That is an in-character thing. It's going to be awkward in character.
Okay, cool.
Especially with that background that you gave me.
Yep.
Yeah.
The long-lost sister. This is your
grandmother.
To be clear, you definitely chose your own last name.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't remember I chose mine.
Sure. But your last name makes sense. You grew up on a Moore, so you're Grayson Moore. Yeah.
No, mine is I want it. Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll become
so that's
clear.
Why there's no relation.
Yeah, it'll become clear really quick that you're not related.
Swamp right. Money, yes.
The three of you have, and we'll get to the house in just a moment, especially for Jan Skarn. Jan Skarn?
Jan Skarn.
Jan?
Jan.
Jan.
So it's a Norwegian J. Very good.
Yes, Jan Skarn.
You have all settled in and around the environs of a town called Morwen, which is, again, fairly outskirts near to the north. There's a large mountainous pine forest. Jan Skarn actually came down from across the mountains. You have traveled south. As part of everything that went down in your history, part of what you need to do to take your next steps towards leadership is a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, kind of like a walkabout sort of thing that you're doing. You live up in the frozen wastes of the north where there are, you know, small pockets of, I'm not going to call it civilization because you're fucking barbarians, literally barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
But there's you. And then there's, like, giant ice worms and crazy shit like that, and winter wargs and all sorts of craziness. Like, you guys do not live in a fuck-around kind of place. You're happy if the worst thing that rolls into your tent is a polar bear.
Oh, yeah.
Unhappy, it's your wife.
Lacey has ended up in Morwen because word has not reached Morwen yet about the shenanigans that you get up to. There's no wanted posters here. And a little bit of time far away from the big city is probably going to do you some good.
Okay.
You definitely don't want to go any further north. You've heard there's nothing but barbarians and goddamn ice worms up there, and who the fuck wants to deal with that?
And, like, somehow, like, polar bears have mated with the ice worms,
right,
and they're
weird.
Fucking worm bears.
Yes. But in places that might surprise you. with dreadlocks. But a little bit of time far away from the hustle and bustle of city life, in a place where you can, you know, in like a year you could
and
be running the town.
Bullshit.
Yep.
Where the
exactly
heat is off.
You're aiming for.
Well, I've decided since I went kind of full support bard, it would be like, you know, love everyone and, you know, total hippie bullshit.
Sure.
You start your own boat, you get like a yurt.
Also, those are usually good for cults.
So, the Kingdom of Valachon that Morwen is a part of is recovering from a very, very long, very bloody war with a neighboring kingdom to the east. The mountain range kind of is an upside down L. So you're coming from the northern edge of the L there across the mountains to the east. And there is one pass through the mountains controlled by a dwarven nation that lives under the mountains. It was a bloody goddamn affair. And the only people who came out looking good were the dwarves who made money on both sides. So
my kind of people,
crazy dwarven weapons to them and things like that. But with the war done, there's not a lot of room left, because there frankly were not a lot of survivors, for strong local militias. So this is kind of turned into a generation of, we need heroes, we need adventurers, we need individuals of skill and substance to take care of our problems, because we're all level zero commoners, because all of the level one militiamen are dead.
Oh shit, my house cat just killed me.
Right. So when children start disappearing in Morwen, for various reasons, the three of you get caught up in solving the problem.
My neighbor's children have gone missing.
Exactly.
I actually like children.
Not
like that.
Context.
Like, you know, children are great.
Phrasing.
Sure. And it would be fairly simple to say that one of the tenets of your tribe is that, you know, children are sacred. They're the future blood of the tribe. So you've come down into these easy, soft, warm southern lands, but you have to respect their tribe, and their children have been taken.
And I have a child. One of them is not my child.
One of them is not your child, but that is absolutely
it could be soon.
Motivating concern. Yes. If your neighbor's child was taken last week, then who's to say that yours isn't next? But through various efforts, you're able to track down what has been happening, with these children. There are a small group, I'm going to use the word coven, of near human things.
Like me.
No. I'll use the word hag. To describe them, in that they're humanoid, they're not quite human, and as far as humans are concerned, they are ugly, misshapen, twisted women. They are powerful, magical creatures. And
like the hag vultures or whatever from Skyrim.
A little bit like that. Think more of the things that share the eyeball in Beastmaster. Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans,
Yep.
Now I'm just thinking of the Fates in Hercules.
Not that powerful, but sure. As you guys begin tracking them down, there's not a lot of magic that you guys have to deal with, but there are twisted animals that are at these things' beck and call. Creepy things like bundles of twigs given the semblance of life that will attack people.
So live faggots.
Yeah, wow. I mean, go out into the woods and murder those faggots.
Wow.
Oh, God. I'm never going to be able to run for public office. Wait, never mind. Trump's running. Jesus, I can do what I want.
You have to go either, you know, you have to go, like, completely crazy like him, though. So
I will start working on my hair.
Already there.
And be really self-conscious dreadlocks, when people say dreadlocks. You have small hands.
Yeah, really self-conscious about it. Small ears, though.
That's true.
You know what they say about small ears?
What do they say about small ears? I can't hear them. Thank you, Phil. You were on top of that shit. Just right there.
Anyway.
They are, whatever else that is going on with these children, they are absolutely somehow corrupting the land with the power that they are drawing from it. There's a point in this, this long chase of these things that you guys get into where your ranger realizes that you're being scryed on from pools of stagnant water. And like the crows of the air are tracking you and things like that.
Doing so things unnatural.
Very unnatural and outside of their normal kind of capability. And they have as much control over the plants as they do the animals, but it's all twisted and sick. Druid stuff. A little bit, yeah. Very, very weird druidic sorts of things. But eventually you are able to track them down and successfully deal with them as a problem. Brandon, how many children were abducted, and how many did you come back with alive?
5 were abducted, we came back with 10.
No, let's do, 8 were abducted, and we came back with 6.
The tracking of these creatures took time. This was like a running chase over the course of months as they would give you the slip. There were 3 of them. The first time you encountered them, your group managed to kill one of them. And that's when you had your confirmation. Like, you came upon them in the middle of one of their rituals, sacrificing one of these children, and watched as one of these things bodily ate that child. The next time you found them, about a month and a half, two months later, there were 3 of them again. The 3rd one was clearly younger than the rest and had very similar features to the child that you watched get consumed. It was definitely a hag. It was definitely like casting withering magics at you and summoning up these thorn creatures and things like that. Georgie, did any of them get away? Did any of the hags escape you?
1 did.
How?
I had faltered because it was the one that I saw as a child.
You've already got your, or if you don't now, you will need to have your flaws and everything figured out for your character. Mm-hmm. One of the things that still definitely haunts you is in that moment, like they're tangled up with whatever other people, whatever militia you guys were able to rouse to have with you throughout all of this. In that moment, you're near the front of the cave dealing with some of these little twig blight things that are swarming in from outside, so the rest of them can kind of deal with this, and shouting your words of encouragement to the rest of the group when you come face to face with this thing running out of the cave. And there's this moment of pause where the two of you are eye to eye, and her face shifts and youthens, and these large, terrified eyes of this young child say, "Please don't hurt me."
Yep.
And there is this sharp stabbing pain in your belly as she claws the fuck out of you and throws you against the cave wall and runs out. But that moment of hesitation, that moment of, is there a way to save this child? Is she still out there somewhere? Definitely with you. Ross, how many others did the 3 of you take with you?
How big of a town is Morwen, or what do you call it?
How big of a town is Morwen?
I'm thinking it's very rural. Like, it's one of the sort of, it's like a farming community kind of thing.
So it's very spread out.
Yeah, very spread out. And I mean, it's a close-knit community in the sense there aren't many. We need to rely on each other. So I'm guessing there were maybe like 8 families overall that made up this village. It was relatively small. So these guys were like,
not including these guys.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about them. Yeah, their presence, the town. I mean, each of them showing up when they did was like some kind of big event because nobody's around here.
Everybody knew about the barbarian.
Yeah.
When he showed up in town, and
so
the towns paid well when you rolled onto each farm, and they were like, "Oh, we need you to lift this cart out of this rut."
Yeah.
Yep, I've got a high strength. I can do this shit.
Yeah.
Spirits led me here.
Because if there were 8 children taken, then there's at least one child, at least one, if not maybe a couple of the youngest, maybe a pair of twins or something for each of the families. So we're talking five husbands and four older brothers in addition to us. So then, so 9 to 12 total.
Okay. So, nine.
Three of us, and then.
9 level 0 commoners.
Yeah. So fathers of the children, and then four of their eldest sons come along, or those that had eldest sons, to try to save their babies.
How many made it back?
Just us.
Let's see. Aside from us, of the nine, let's see. Three of the fathers and two of the sons died. So out of them, that's...
So four returned.
Yeah, four of those total returned, yeah.
So a Pyrrhic victory, but a Pyrrhic victory nonetheless.
Yeah.
Including the two children that died.
Except that in at least... In some set of that instance, both the father and that father's child are one of the ones that were lost in the process. So actually, like, two generations of a family are just gone.
Just gone.
Yeah, okay. At least, yeah.
And
get nothing. Like, nobody comes back. Like, it was just the husband that went out to find his son, but he and his son both died, so the wife is left completely widowed and without a child. Yeah, that kind of very, very tragic.
Over the course of this long investigation up into out into the swamp, like this northern icy swamp, and then from there up into the mountains as you chase these things down, it becomes very evident to Hadwin, and even with his limited understanding, Janskarn is probably a firm believer in the spirits of the land and, mm-hmm. and such, that whatever these hags are doing, this was towards some purpose. It was not just like, we like eating babies, this is mm-hmm. cool. There's something else going on. And you found evidence that they were attempting to empower something, awaken something. You're not too clear on it, but you were unwilling to leave that be. And your investigations continued. Members of your group started to peel off, and after that, the children were recovered from mm-hmm. From the hags. The families of those children, we need to go home. We need to take our families back. Mm-hmm. The three of you continued on. Did you continue on alone, or did any of the other four survivors come with you?
Well, the other, at least one of the other fathers who had lost his child, but was still alive, had vengeance on his mind.
Nothing left to lose.
Yeah, he and his eldest son, they lived, and so they were like, well, we have to see this through. Well, everybody else had to go back and take care of what sure. was left of their family. So okay. It was us three and a father and a son.
It was the three of you, a father and his two sons, okay, actually, sure. is right. what we're going to say. Sure. So the six of you
sure.
Continued on, basically at this point, essentially following the nose of your ranger, trying to sort out where the corruption is coming from, which led you to a fissure in the earth, which led to a large cave complex underground. The things that you found down there were not human. They were not like the hags, but inhuman like the hags were. They were, you know, bulbous heads with no necks, wide eyes set kind of further apart, stubby ears, slimy skin, webbed fingers and toes. A little bit
yep. of little creatures in the sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Almost more amphibious. Not sure. Quite frog people, but
so, the Descent plus Gollum.
A little bit. Something okay. like that.
Have you seen The Descent? It's a good movie. It's a decent horror movie.
I can't deal with a lot of horror movies because I have an overactive imagination.
Sure.
That then I just have nightmares for years.
Okay,
after.
Then don't watch The Descent.
You essentially begin slaughtering your way through this underground village of these things. They are entirely hostile towards you. You find evidence of cannibalism. Like they are hunting humans and
is it cannibalism if they're eating humans?
I'm sure someone in the group asks that question.
It's probably
it was probably you. Nobody wants to talk about
that sensitive.
Yeah.
Would these be something identifiable that I could put as my favored Dealey Bob? Or would that even matter at this
time?
If I'm going, like,
is a, one of your options on your ranger thing abominations?
A type of humanoid.
These are not humanoids, they're abominations.
I'll double check.
Technically what they
keep
are.
Keep going.
If abominations is on your list, you're welcome to put abominations on
it. I'll look it up, but you keep going.
They, much to your horror, are worshipping something down there in the gloom. There's a lake? That's probably the wrong word for it, because it's standing water, it's underground. But it's vast. It's vast and deep, and there's this large central column that is carved like this series of tentacles, and it's big like a building is large. This is larger than the scale of anything any of you have seen before. Okay. And they worship something out there in the water. In your investigations, one of these climactic battles with like the shaman of this group of things... is out near the water. There's abominations on there.
Aberrations.
That's what I mean. Yep, you can put aberration there. Okay. This thing is chanting and doing its thing while its followers are trying to kill you. And there is one point where the whole cave complex shakes, and there is this single ripple that comes out from the water, starting at that column and then reaching out eventually towards shore. As that ripple hits shore, this tendril, yards long, whips out from the water and wraps around this father. And as his two sons watch on in horror, he is whipped back out into the water where there's another single splash and then nothing. You're not geared up for doing something crazy, like, you know, wading out into an unknown depth of water to fight something that's got tendrils that long. You do manage to cave in this cave complex on your way out after essentially murdering this village of crazies, and are certainly of the hope that that will at least forestall whatever is sleeping out there.
So in the process of this, did we kill all the hags?
One of the hags got away.
Right. Okay.
You were not able to catch her. She did not make her way. Your hope was she was making her way back here.
Right.
You didn't find her here. But you collapse the cave in the hopes of it, if this thing ever does wake up, if it's waterbound, it's not going to be able to crawl out through all these blocks.
Okay.
So, go ahead and start leveling yourselves up to 3 from that.
We'll just sit here, though.
Because you're already building at 3?
No. Yes, the player's handbook.
Oh. Well, guess whose turn is it to hog that?
I have a spear.
I just rip it out of his hands, then.
Are you guys okay at multitasking? Can I do the next... I've only got a quick part left, and then we can start.
Yeah, I'm here. Cool.
Almost done, anyway.
So, though you are... Your characters are in vastly different regions, perhaps even vastly different worlds, the problems start happening about the same time. A group of Caravan of Vistani roll into your various communities. As they do every season, they cause a little bit of trouble, they make a little bit of money, some pregnancies are had all around, most of them were not unwelcome in the moment, if later might be regretted.
Yep.
But certainly do not cause any large problems. No throats are slit, nothing is stolen that can't be easily replaced. But not long after they arrive, as the summer starts winding down into autumn, the attacks begin. And at first, especially Grayson over in Haven, your people start assuming that it's dire wolves again, that is a pack of dire wolves. The truth, when you find it out, is far more horrific, perhaps specifically for Francis. These are coordinated, organized attacks by a pack of werewolves. Not a werewolf on the loose, and not one of those I-was-bitten-and-I-go-crazy-on-the-full-moon werewolves, but an organized pack
werewolf.
We have embraced our lycanthropy, or even worse, you begin to suspect we are breeding true. And true breeding werewolves cannot be cured by remove curse. Right. They need to be murdered by silver weapons. By the way, pro tip, you can spend some of that hard-earned money on having silvered gear.
I was going to ask. I'll just erase this question.
Is there a list price?
100 gold.
Okay.
100 gold to silver money. Similarly, in Haven, or excuse me, in...
Also magic, so...
Right, but... In Morrowind as well, it's assumed that these are the dire wolves that sometimes come down from the northern wastes and the mountains until one of them is caught and cornered and then shifts into the form of a man and begs for mercy. It wasn't me. It was the thing that bit me. I can control it. I swear. I just need help. Whatever is done with the individual... in that particular instance. Well, what does Yan Skarn specifically do with that individual? Dressed all in rags, clear, ragged bite mark still on his leg as the sun comes up from that night of the full moon, and he begs for mercy, swearing that he had no control over himself.
Well, he would hesitate at first because of what his background there with the whole last time the first time he raged was actually with that. He would hesitate. And is he alone?
Yes, you find this one alone.
And my friends are with me?
Are your friends with you?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
I would hesitate. And it's not making any immediate moves.
He is begging for mercy on his hands and knees.
And he just came down and he did all that stuff.
You know that it was not just him. You know that there is a group. You don't know the details of that group. You are not as well-versed in lycanthropy as our monster-hunting friends.
Mercy. He gets mercy.
Okay.
He gets mercy.
How do Lacey and Hadwin react and deal with Yan Skarn a month later, as you're still dealing with these constant attacks, when this man, given mercy, hulks out in the makeshift jail that Morrowind's been able to cobble together and murders two of the other prisoners?
On one hand, they're prisoners.
Sure. Like, the town drunk, who's just in here sleeping it off tonight... And
shouldn't have been such drunk then.
What, and let's say a horse thief.
What is? So are we nearby when this guy hulks out?
In town.
Yeah.
You hear about it later, but you three are definitely the problem solvers in town. She's got divine guidance, and you know the land and the ways of the earth, and he can split people in half with an axe. And you're basically the best town has to offer at this point.
Damn, this town's
fucked. Well, I would deal with him depending on how he reacts. It's like, does he take responsibility for having allowed this person to live, and then how does he try to rectify the situation? If he does.
He got had.
Maybe. But I mean, you know. if there's one thing my guy knows, it's that there's making a mistake, and then there's making up for the mistake. So... how he's dealt with is up to him. So this happens, and what does your character do, if anything, to try to respond to it?
Well, he broke out, right? You said he broke out of the jail and killed these people?
No, he broke... So he hulked out in his cell and rampaged through the jail. But this was, like, a... Probably at one point had been one of the granaries in town. Like, it's a stone building to keep problems out. And hasty wooden walls were erected inside of it so there could be cells in here to keep people.
So he broke some of the walls inside it.
Correct. and absolutely positively had to be put down because he was trying to tear his way out after killing the only other people in there and getting out to the rest of the village. And the three of you had to kill this guy. At this point, you maybe or maybe did not actually have silvered weapons. Like, you've gotten to level 3 at this point. You could have the cash to have something like that done. And there's probably a smith in, you know, within 50 miles that you can travel to that can do it.
Carl Brown. He knows how to work some metal.
Sure. He's a white smith and he can silver things.
So do you kill him?
I'm saying unequivocally, yes. You guys had to kill
him.
This guy was cursed, though, right?
Yes. He was cursed, he was bitten and cursed, and over the course of that month, in between when you found him and brought him back to town, he was penitent, he was terrified of himself, he didn't want people to be around him, and wanted to find a cure. But you...
We don't have...
None of the three of you are level 5 and have access to remove curse, so you guys couldn't do it. So...
Well... Like I say, for as far as his decision to show mercy... I can empathize because, like, my personal demon caused me to hurt someone against my own sort of rational will. And so I can empathize with that, but of course, as soon as it becomes clear that he can't handle himself. So, my guy wouldn't hold anything against Yon Scar for that decision. It's one of those, like, tough calls, like, how do you... He respects the decision, but given the circumstances, if my guy comes across someone like that again, he won't hesitate in the future. Like, if someone is actually cursed, like, this might be relatively new for him, like, seeing someone cursed by something, etc., rather than it being, like, an addiction. So, again, does that count as an aberration, that guy? Not that I'm about killing him. I'm just talking about, sure. Would it fall within the same line of things that he would?
We have to check the monster manual and see if lycanthropes count as aberrations. Okay. I'm not sure if they do.
So.
Okay, that's fine.
But regardless of that, I mean, you guys are able to put it down. And you, what is your total bonus on nature at this point?
Let's see. It's plus 2.
And plus your wisdom bonus, right?
Intelligence.
No, that was. It is intelligence.
Intelligence.
So it's just plus 2.
Just the plus 2, yeah.
Because my intelligence is 0.
Like a system.
They count as both humans and shapeshifters.
And shapeshifters.
Oh, humans. Yes. Well, I can kill humans as well.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think probably both Hadwin and Janskarn have put together that there are two different hierarchies of werewolves. There are lycanthropes. There are the ones who revel in it or are born with it, and then there are the ones who are
cursed.
Fighting against it.
Yeah.
The cursed can't control their turning, and they only do it when certain things trigger it. The full moon is one of them. It's not the only one. And you thought that you had this guy down and taken care of. Like, he was chained up in his cell. He was gagged. He was manacled.
For some reason, we used silver chains, and that just broke real easy.
Let's assume that you didn't use silver chains.
I know.
Mostly because you put the silver against the skin, and it burns, and you don't want to torture this guy, because you are playing good characters. Are any of the rest of you lawful good, by the way? I know Bill is.
No, lawful neutral.
Okay.
I'd probably be neutral good.
Neutral good?
I'm more chaotic.
You're
definitely chaotic good.
Cool. Okay. So you guys think that you did the best that you could to protect this guy, and essentially, like, that's an extra question. You're the charlatan that these people think is actually some sort of religious person. Mm-hmm. You assured folks that you'd written off to your order to find out about a cure for this. How do you feel about the fact that that letter went to no one who could do jack shit, and multiple people are dead now?
I don't know.
You should probably feel a little bad.
A little bit. Maybe a touch.
How does that inform the way that you interact now. Like, you can't, whether it's pathological, like it's a flaw that your character has, or whether it's just like the most convenient thing to fall into and things get stressed, how do you handle the fact that your take advantage of other people for personal benefit has
actually killed people as opposed like, to just
arguably indirectly killed people, but even your character cannot justify to herself. If you actually are good, you cannot justify to yourself that you were not a part of this man's death. You were not complicit somehow in his death. You gonna think about that for a little while?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as spells, given the theme of things, I've taken Speak with Animals, Fog Cloud, and Hunter's Mark.
I haven't chosen all my spells yet. I just have up to level 1 right now. And I have Minor Illusion and maybe Blade Ward for my cantrips.
I took Horde Breaker as my...
I'm not ready to hear about these things. We're still doing a little bit.
Sorry.
While Georgie is thinking about that, switching back to the two actual monster hunters, who would never make such an amateurish mistake.
No.
That man would have just been dead unless there was someone there to actually cure him. And to be clear, as unyielding and unforgiving as the Church of the Divine Purity is, the cardinal in the city is working day and night. Like, he is preparing at third level, he prepares nothing but remove curses and makes scrolls of remove curse to pass out.
Right.
Like, if you find people that have been wounded, this is the flock of we need a name for this god, the Lord of Light, that have been corrupted by the darkness, and you can bring them back. So, it is certainly not your only method for dealing with this, and you are being given tools as you can to fix it. It's just, that is not, like, he can crank out one of these scrolls a week, and he can cast this spell twice.
Right.
A day. So, that's, yeah.
Which leads to some hard choices when we get behind.
It absolutely does, and there are points where you guys do get behind and need to make some hard choices. And it's tough stuff. Like, everybody in this family was bitten. We're saving the children. You know, like, alright, given an opportunity.
We're gonna create some orphans!
We're gonna create some orphans and send them off to the church, and we'll find out if they are being called to the light.
That's right.
Because we can use some more hunters.
That's right.
In both of your sets of communities, the Vistani do everything they can to help. They are terrified of the werewolves. They ask for protection in town and offer their services as lookouts and scouts. In both of your sets of communities, the first reaction from everybody is they're going to try and sell you potions that they say will cure the disease. Don't believe them. They're liars. They do nothing of the sort. Like, they are entirely on the up with this. They are as scared as everyone else is and do not use this as an opportunity to take advantage of the locals the way that they're expected to, which might drive home how terrifying the problem is in particular. There comes a point as fall is turning towards winter and game is getting scarce in the woods because these packs are just murdering their way across the countryside, that there comes a turn where it becomes easier to hunt them. They're losing strength because they're starving. You have managed to get organized, but in both sets of communities, you've managed to get organized enough that you're not giving them the opportunity to organize themselves and hunt. You are sleeping during the day, so at night you can go hunt them and keep them from resting. Things like that. In both cases, they begin fading back deeper and deeper into the woods, to the southern border of Morwyn and to the northern border of, or excuse me, the northern border of Morwyn and the southern border of Haven. Did I get that right? Yes. Got there. Nailed it. And making fewer and fewer attacks. And there actually comes a point where both sets of communities, ask the tough question, do we spend the resources to go after them? Or do we let them go in the hopes that they don't come back? Going around the table, starting with Bill, What are your individual responses to that? Assume heavy losses in your communities from these things, a real concern that surviving the winter is going to be difficult, especially in the outlying farms, and every man counts at this point.
I'm sorry, it's 11:30 and I was writing something and I sort of zoned on the question you asked.
Sure. These things are fading further and further into the woods. Attacks are becoming less and less common.
Got it.
Is it worth it to you, given the stakes, to pursue them? Or do you let them go and hope they don't come back?
We absolutely pursue them.
Nay. Strengthen the community.
No. Hunt them down, or they'll come back stronger in the spring.
I would probably say build up defenses if they come back, but don't hunt them down, because you'll just lose people.
His inclination is to go after them, but he knows from recent experience that the people can't defend themselves unless there's... Like, so basically, you know, he'd stay behind and help them prepare for the possibility they might come back so they could defend themselves, because, you know, four guys running out in the woods might leave them undefended. Yeah. So,
sure. In the case of those of you from Morwen, you each make these impassioned arguments to the village elders who are, you know, of the opinion, like, well, we can't make you go. You are the toughest, scariest motherfuckers in town, and if you're not going somewhere, we're not going to move you. What does end up changing your mind is the leader, you think, the super motherfucking old guy who seems to be the leader of the Vistani, who says he believes he knows where the werewolves are retreating to, where they are coming from, and offers to show you and lead you to, not necessarily to personally lead you into their den or anything like that, but to show you the valley that they're making their attacks from.
Basically make us a map to point us there.
Yes, and that perhaps you should speak with the Vistana, that is singular for Vistani, the Vistana who mentored him, an old woman named Madame Ava, who might be able to provide some insight as to where these things are coming from and why they are attacking this community. This is entirely unprecedented.
How many are in this group? This community?
Is
it huge or just like a sort of traveling band? The Vistani?
Oh, the Vistani? There are probably 8 or 12 of them in total.
So if they convince us to go out, I would go to this elder guy and I would tell him, you know, here's a trinket of mine or whatever, something that's exclusively mine. I say, take your people back to Morrowind and stay there until the threat is past. My people will protect you. Take this.
Sure. And he's not trying to convince you to go out and continue to hunt these things.
Oh.
He wants to, like, if you're saying we post a watch and wait for them to return, mm-hmm. and we protect ourselves, he's saying, I think I know where they are coming from, and I can bring you to one who knows them better than I.
Okay.
To give you more information about your enemy. Like, mm-hmm. this is, in addition to attacking people and turning them into lycanthropes, to cause chaos, which mm-hmm. is clearly what they are doing. Like, this isn't just fucking around. Mm-hmm. This is guerrilla warfare. It is clear that this is an organized pack
sure.
that is attacking, and they seem to have some sort of larger goal. And what he's saying is Madame Ava might have more information about that, might be able to provide you with more insight as to what it is they're looking for and what their strengths and weaknesses are, other than obviously fucking silver.
Sure, I'm just giving them, like, this is the alternative
sure.
know, safe haven until, like, the thing gets problem. I mean, if we take off and they feel like...
Sure, but so that, you know, I mean, there are most of the people yeah. in this caravan are young bravos.
Okay.
So yes, absolutely. Essentially, the old man and his son mm-hmm. take the three of you in his wagon and take you up into the mountains while the rest of okay. his band stays in Morwen and says, yes, we will keep an eye and we'll protect your people.
Okay.
Similarly, across the whatever in Haven, the Vistani approach, like the local Vistani group approaches the local church, the little township that you guys yeah. have set up in. And they say, if you're intent on following them back to their den where they're coming from, we believe we can help you.
Yeah.
They're as much a risk to us as they are to you. And the leader of our clan can tell you more about them. We have dealt with their kind before, with this particular tribe before. And I, by our laws, I cannot give up secrets of the blood. She may be willing to help you, and she is allowed to do so. Madame Hava knows much. And we'll similarly lead you guys. Yeah, I know we got to wrap here. Similarly, lead you guys in the woods. There's one more thing I want each of you to put on your
clock is not right. Sheets.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. One more thing each of you needs to put on your character sheets, and we will wrap until next week as your caravans wander
just,
off into the mists of the mountains.
Just letting you know, you'll probably have to write this in an email for me.
Well,
as well, because I've been up since like 3.
Absolutely. we'll do the thing at the beginning of next session. But on your sheets, please write down the following. Bill, though you survived your brush with lycanthropy, none the worse for wear, it has left its mark on you. Your character acts as though you have a periapt of wound closure. You will find that in the Dungeon Master's Guide under periapt. It is constantly active. It cannot be taken from you. It is not an object. You have just been left hardier by your time as a beast. Nick, Grayson's book has whispered to him secrets of how the world truly works and interacts, the pulse of blood beneath the ground and the breath that flows through the skies, and how that translates into the forces of magic. And you have a deeper understanding of how the arcane and supernatural forces affect you. It's not just a fireball being thrown at you. It is a force of energy interacting with the energy that is you. You have advantage on all saving throws against spells.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ross, your time studying in the woods and your time dealing with the cause and effect of these different threats to your community and to your family have forced you to adapt in ways that you were not necessarily originally prepared for. In addition to being wiser for what you've done, you are a smarter man for it. You have a permanent +2 to intelligence.
Wow.
Georgie. Lacey is a liar. Lacey is the kind of liar who believes her own lies. Sometimes she just forgets that it's a lie and starts to believe it. Lacey's not insane. Lacey is not not a megalomaniac, nor does she have delusions of grandeur. But the persona that she puts forth is heroic. And you've convinced yourself that that might actually be true. This is a non-typed bonus and will stack with everything. You have a permanent +1 to AC and 2 saving throws. Wow.
It's because I'm awesome.
Brandon, you get a kazoo.
Because you're awesome. Yes.
Brandon, you have proficiency in loot.
You have proficiency in loot. Oh.
You have double the bonus proficiency.
I have proficiency in the flute, don't worry.
In Yanskarn's tribe, you are not just descendant of the blood of the chieftain of the tribe. You hold your history very dear. And you know that once, before the creatures in the ice awoke and shattered it, yours was a kingdom, a true kingdom of the north. And the tribes of the different tribes of barbarians that live up there can each trace their lineage back to the great Ice King 1,000 years before. You have inside you blood of kings, sir. And to that end, your chosen weapon in your hands acts as a +1 magic item.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
So, we will say your great axe, I assume.
Yes.
No, it's just going to be a mace.
One of his 4 spears.
Randomly a different one each
lucky
time.
Spear.
Yeah. We're going to roll a d4 to see if that's...
Bring me my killing spear.
The other killing spear.
What I just handed out were called blessings. It's an alternate to giving magic items to people. Yep. It's shit that just cannot be taken away. And I thought a little bit more flavorful for game. I don't know that you guys are going to ever end up with more of this shit, but there it is. There is a thing that you guys have to kind of set you apart. So we will pick up next week At level 3, I need all of the questions I sent you guys in that email answered, and we'll do a quick pregame to make sure everybody's on the same page as we get started, as your caravans roll into Barovia.
Okie dokie.
Rolling.
Wait, I don't want to go to Barovia.